The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And it's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Our Friday forum is looking back on some of the week's top stories. Here to talk about the HSE's decision on close contacts in school, the college accommodation crisis, US flights resuming. All of that and more is Dublin Bay South and Labour TD Ivana Bacik, Louise O'Reilly Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal, and Fine Gael TD Emer Higgins for Dublin Midwest. And Emer, I might start with you on the HSE announcement about the close contacts in respect of particularly the kids remaining in school if they're asymptomatic and that they've had a close contact. Do you think it is going to cause huge confusion?
No, I actually think it's going to minimise what's going on at the moment, which is huge disruption. This is an issue I raised in the Dáil earlier this week. In response, I suppose, to what's going on the ground. I've had constituents who have had to take annual leave to stay at home with their child who is not COVID positive, who's COVID negative, but who's been asked to stay out of school because they're close contact.
But it had the advantage of a nice clarity. You knew there's a close contact, keep everybody at home. Now you've got the situation where if it's a close contact at a party, they stay at home. If it's close contact at home, they stay at home. If it's close contact at school, they go to school.
What you had was 10,000 children a day not getting an education. Now, lump that on top of the fact that we've had children going through homeschooling on and off for over a year and a half. And that's been massive disruption to children and to their education. So this decision was taken on the basis of medical advice. It's rooted in science. But I think it's the best decision for students, for children and for their parents and teachers as well.
Louise?
Ending all of the contact tracing, I think, has caused concern among some parents. So I think and Emer makes a good point. There was huge disruption and there were thousands of children who were at home who possibly could safely have been in school. But it's finding that middle ground. And I know my colleague Dunica O'Leary has been very strong on this. And he's actually looked for an effort to come into the Education Committee because it's not something that you're going to be able to resolve back and forth here in a couple of minutes. I think it requires the length of that meeting. So I think NPHET and representatives from the Department of Health or indeed the CMO, if he's available, should be making themselves available to the Education
and
Committee.
And do you think, are these things ever fully soluble? Because there was a lot of anger about people saying, well, how can you justify if a situation with a school for special needs has one rule and a different school? Yeah. But the reality is, to some degree, the public health authorities have to feel their way through each new set of guidelines.
Oh, 100%. But what we have learned throughout the course of this pandemic is if the guidelines are clear and they make sense, people will follow them and follow them to the letter. But where there is confusion, exactly what you said, if you're a close contact at a party, that's different to being a close contact in a classroom, which is also different if your child is in a special school. So that does need to be clarified. But I think in terms of a questions and answers session, to give my colleague Dunica and the other members of Dunica O'Leary and the other members of the Education Committee the opportunity to ask those questions and tease it out. I think also we need to see a pretty decent information campaign for parents. I think parents now got a shock because, this stopped and stopped very quickly. And I think we need to see that level of engagement, addressing the concerns that they have, because I know parents want their kids to get the education. They badly need to catch up on the time that was lost, which is absolutely huge. That has to be a priority. And the safety of all of the people attend the school.
That
and
last bit on the
school.
Safety, obviously, for a lot of parents is going to be an issue. Ivana Bacik, do you think there will be fear among parents now? Because implicit in the new rules around close contacts is a more laissez-faire attitude about the progression of this virus through schools.
Well, good morning, Anton. It's undoubted that there is significant concerns being felt by many parents. I've had many, many parents in my own Dublin Bay South constituency contacting me in recent days with serious concerns about the change in rules, with also a concern about lack of clarity, particularly as regards children who are in special education facilities, and real concerns that this is in some way endangering the safety of children. It is a difficult balance, there's no doubt about that. And indeed, we're all conscious of the enormous impact upon so many children across the country of prolonged school closures due to COVID. Back in February, both myself as children's spokesperson for Labour and Eoin O'Riordan, our education spokesperson, called on the Minister to initiate a €100 million catch-up fund, a catch-up for children fund that would have sought to make up to children, to put in place resources to ensure that children whose development had suffered as a result of lockdowns and closures, that that would be addressed and that they would be given additional resources and supports. Now, we felt the government had moved too little too late in following that request. There is a catch-up fund of sorts announced, but it's only much more recently and it's much less than we had called for.
Indeed, well, while we're on that topic, Ivana, can I ask you about the budgetary payments in respect of COVID generally? Because all the way through the programme this morning, we had talked about it earlier on, but people have been texting in, on the one hand saying it is daft that we are all putting our hands in our pocket to pay certain sections of the workforce for something that was suffered by so many. And on the other hand saying, what about me? I'm a carer at home, for instance, is the most recent text. I should get some kind of reward. Where do you stand on the notion of bonuses for health and frontline workers?
Well, I think there's no doubt that we need to give an acknowledgement in the for a practical acknowledgement to those frontline workers who sacrifice so much to keep us all safe. I think it can be done through money, through bonus payments, or indeed through days in lieu. And I know Alan Kelly was questioning the Taoiseach on this yesterday, and I'm glad to see that there seems to be a positive response in government to the idea of bonus payments. But I think, Anton, there are also other ways in which we can recognise the enormous sacrifice of frontline workers. I've been involved for some months now in a campaign to seeking citizenship rights for frontline workers. Well, fast tracking of citizenship for those frontline workers who sought citizenship, who are not Irish citizens and who therefore feel that they are missing out, and who had applied for citizenship and whose citizenship had still been stalled, and yet were being required to do so much for us all.
Indeed, but with the greatest respect, again, as laudable as that might be, Ivana, it's going to be obviously a relatively small cohort. To the larger cohorts, once you say the kind of thing that you've said about days in lieu or about bonus payments, you hit the issue of to whom? So is it everybody in the health sector?
Well, I see that the Taoiseach is saying it should be frontline workers beyond necessarily just healthcare workers, but certainly healthcare workers. He's saying, and I think he's right to say, that they want to look at who else should be included in that category of frontline workers. We're all conscious that people kept public services running, like the guards, like indeed bus drivers, like essential retail services, that all of these were services that were kept open. So I think it's a difficult one, but I think we are seeing a very welcome recognition that some formal acknowledgement and some formal bonus of some sort is required.
Well, Eimear Higgins, let me get your view on that. The list of potential people, I mean, even during the show, people all making legitimate claim. A taxi driver saying, well, look, we had to bring patients on dialysis because we were contracted and that meant you were exposed and you had to stay in the house, or in the car rather, with them. As Ivana Bacic points out, bus drivers, retail workers, Gardaí, paramedics. This bill is going to get very big.
Absolutely, you're right. There's an awful lot of people who were our frontline workers during this. And I will answer that. But could I first just say, in relation to the discussion we were having on children, just in case your listeners aren't clear after that discussion, the advice is very clear. If your child has symptoms, they should self-isolate and they should get a test. As you know, if you're fully vaccinated at the moment, you don't have to self-isolate if you're a close contact. We're now extending that same parameter, if you like, to children under 13. So we're dealing with children under 13 in the same way as fully vaccinated people, as we have been doing from a travel perspective. Gotcha. When it comes to going abroad.
What
same
about
for
the
schools.
Pandemic bonus?
For the pandemic bonus, this is something that is being looked at. It's being looked at by both the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, and the Ministers for Finance have all been on the record on this. We do need to do something to recognise.
They've had
people.
A while at it, haven't they?
They have, and the budget is coming up, so it's going to be important that those conversations happen in the context of that budget. The Taoiseach himself did say during the week in the Dáil that frontline workers were absolutely utterly incredible, but there was other frontline workers as well that we need to look at too. So we're going to have to take into account all of those people that you mentioned when deliberating as to what is the appropriate way to recognise the huge contributions people have made over this last year.
But how will you draw the line? How will you look and say, for instance, a dentist or a dental nurse dealing with people who are coming in where they have no choice whether or not the patient may have COVID, may not, they may not know, they're in PPE all the way through the pandemic. Do you draw the line before them?
You're absolutely right. It's going to be really, really difficult to do that. And that's why it's so important that this budget actually has a pandemic dividend for everyone, that it looks at improving workers' rights as well as economic growth hand in hand, that we look at things like occupational pensions, like statutory sick pay, like
and
flexible
you pay for
working,
this with
like
what?
A living wage. Well, we pay for this with through the exchequer. That's what we have to do.
At a point where the national debt is as large almost as it has ever been.
Unfortunately, that is the case. place, but we are where we are because we had to do what we needed to get through the pandemic. We're now in a situation where we need to inject funds into the economy, into people's pockets.
Well, that's not what a lot of the economic advisors are saying. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council this week said, no. The last thing you need to be doing is engaging in increasing the debt or keeping the debt burden high.
The same time, we need to make sure that our elderly pensioners, we need to make sure that our low-income families can pay their rising electricity bills. There are things that the government need to take into account when it comes to this budget. Fine Gael led this country out of the last recession and will lead us out of the economic implications of this pandemic too.
Louise, I want to talk about the accommodation crisis, but I don't want to give you no opportunity on the pandemic bonus first.
Okay, so I think it's very clear the government have raised this. They love flying kites. This is one of the kites they've been flying for the last number of months. They have talked themselves up, down, up to the top of the hill and down and back again. And all of the while, nurses and other people who are on the front line in our health services are dealing with a system that is stretched to capacity. We have trolley waits back. This is September. We know that that is only going to get worse. We know that, a fitting reward for healthcare workers would be to create a decent single-tier healthcare system where they would want to work. So we know that as soon as the borders open we're going to lose
staff. Let's
not
set the bar too high for this discussion. Let's bring it slightly closer
That is actually the most fitting reward would be to come out of this pandemic having learned the lessons from when we went into it, because our health service was really, really stretched. So with regard to the pandemic bonus, my understanding is this issue is under negotiation at present between the workers' reps and the government. But what the government are not doing is sending decision makers to the table. What they need to do is engage directly with the workers' representatives. I think also, and Sinn Féin are on the record as having called for an additional bank holiday to recognise 1916. I think next year would be a good time for that to be introduced, and I think that would be of benefit to citizens right across the state. I think that would be important. I think we do need to recognise that there are workers within our system who went above and beyond. Some of them are public service workers, some of them are private sector workers. A one-size-fits-all approach may not work, and that's why direct engagement
you're riding two horses there, because there is nothing more one size fits all than the bank holiday for everybody.
Indeed, and as I've said, that is one element of it. But if there is going to be recognition specifically, and bearing in mind it was the government that raised this for healthcare workers, they raised the issue of a pandemic, of a dividend and a bonus for them. So they now need to make good. What they did was, it was a soundbite and they hadn't backed it up. They now have to back that up, and they need to talk directly to the representatives of those
workers. Your party
workers.
Colleague was in during the week talking about the issue of housing and accommodation generally, this being your housing spokesperson, Owen O'Brien. One of the big issues of the week has been the issue of student accommodation. What's your reaction to the notion of students getting hotel rooms because digs and apartments are unavailable?
I spoke to the students outside the Dáil yesterday. It's actually, funny enough, it's 30 years this week since I started. I would have started as a student in UCD, and there was always a scramble for accommodation, but it certainly is nothing like it is at the moment. I think the fact that we see now purpose-built student accommodation not being let to students because it's simply unaffordable, and actually being repurposed for tourist accommodation, that to me is the government's housing policy in a nutshell. Is relying on the private sector, will not deliver for people, hasn't delivered for people. I think that students that were outside the Dáil yesterday were there not because they wanted to be. They wanted to be on campus learning. They were there because they had no choice. So it's not acceptable.
Well, I think
to some extent,
Ivana Bacic has been trying to provide some element of. Am I right in saying that you had a draft piece of legislation, Ivana Bacic, addressing some of this?
I did, Anton. My renters' rights bill that I drafted with Rebecca Moynihan was before the Dáil this week, and I'm glad to say that the Minister for Housing didn't oppose it, so we're going to push for it to become law. It would provide for greater protections for renters and a rebalancing of government policy, which has, we believe, for far too long been skewed towards the interests of the investor stroke landlord and seeing rental properties as investments, whereas in fact we need to ensure that our policy recognises them as homes for individuals, for couples, for families. And so we want to provide better security of tenure for tenants to ensure that they have better protection against no-fault evictions. We want to ensure that they have protection against unaffordable rent hikes, and we want to ensure that they have better quality of living conditions, for example, the right to rent an unfurnished home. So these are issues that we're pushing in our bill, and indeed in the similar constructive spirit, Rebecca has also got a bill to prevent student units being turned into apart hotels for tourists, and that's a bill we now want the government to support as well, because clearly there are issues generally about renters' protections. We've heard harrowing stories from people during the week. I've been getting contacts from many, many constituents telling me about their sharp practices in the rental sector. Undoubtedly, many very well-meaning and very good landlords, but there, but simply not enough protections in law.
Indeed, and there's an element in what you discussed there where you say about the viewing landlords and the availability of properties as an essential service rather than as a profit centre. That flies fairly significantly, Eimear, in the face of what your party leader said, where he pointed out this week that one person's rent is another person's income.
Well, that is often the situation. A lot of people in Ireland, we have a huge amount of landlords who own just one property. For them, they purchased it as an investment. It's obviously somebody's home at this point, but it has that dual source, if you like, for people. And really what this
in the middle of a rental crisis, is it what people want to be reminded of, though?
Well, you're right, absolutely, perhaps not. And yet at the same time, we do need to make sure that landlords, who are a huge stakeholder in this, are also considered. I mean, a number of the parties are looking for rent freeze, an ongoing rent freeze. And the legal advice on that is that it's unconstitutional because of how landlords and renters' rights are currently balanced. The answer to that is a referendum on housing. And that's something that this government has committed to. But I suppose when you look at that as well, and you look at that international experience, I mean, if we were to move ahead and do a rent freeze at this point, which I think Ivana's bill calls for, you'd end up in the situation where Berlin was in. This is where they found that the market evaporated, that supply dried up. And that was because landlords took their properties off the market to see whether it was legally challenged, which it was. And 330,000 renters ended up not only facing a rent increase, but actually the prospect of having to pay.
I do want to move on, but Louise's expression requires me to go to her.
If they spent as much time in this government, and indeed the last government and the one before, if they had spent even a tenth as much time figuring out how they were going to build houses, which is what we need, and indeed give renters rights, rather than figuring out their excuses for why they're
That's
not doing
anything.
That's
what Housing for All does.
We are in the midst of a housing crisis. Yesterday we saw the business end of it because we saw people outside the Dáil in tents who have no accommodation, and you know there needs to be an acceptance. Your 2017 strategy on student accommodation did not work. It didn't deliver, and it needs to be revised.
Final thing before we go. Have you booked your tickets to the States now that it's open?
I haven't, but I think I would like at some point to get there. But I think when I heard the news, I was thinking more of family and friends who have family and friends in the States who they haven't seen. I mean, there have been babies born on both sides of the Atlantic.
And a Zoom baby is not the same as a cuddle baby, it has
no,
to be said.
No, it's not. And, you know, there are grandparents all over Ireland and all over America who are dying to see their grandchildren. I think that was it was welcome news when I heard it.
A big thank you to our Friday Forum this Friday. That is Ivana Bacsik, Labour TD for Dublin Bay South, Eimear Higgins, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Midwest, and who you just heard from there, Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal. Bit of news, the former US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is now the first woman to be appointed as Chancellor of Queen's University in Belfast. She's at the moment just at her installation ceremony. That's pretty much it for us.